This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Here's a major problem. Uncatchable targets. Among the 41 NFL tight ends with at least 200 routes run in 2024, only 69% of Kincaid's targets were catchable, the lowest in the league. When targeted 10 or more yards down the field, Kincaid's catchable target rate was 37%. Him and Josh Allen got to get on the same page and establish that chemistry so that way they can maximize on Kincaid getting open, which he is at a high, high clip relative to NFL tight end.
Joe Marino this morning on WGR, kind of baffling this reality about Dalton Kincaid last season, but I'm not here to dispute it, just sort of weird.
Yeah, I happened to hear that this morning and texted Zach and said, like, grab that. I think that's interesting. I think we've known all of that information, but just hearing it all spit out in, you know, one paragraph was pretty impressive. Like, Kincaid was available and rated very highly, comparatively speaking, to other tight ends with a similar workload, and just the hit rate was just not good at all. So, like Joe says there, the two of them need to figure that out.
I'm not super optimistic about Kincaid or Coleman. I might be swayed somewhat by my fantasy community, because whenever, like, on ADP Chasing, which I host Tuesday mornings each week, whenever Kincaid or Coleman come up, there are, people laugh. Like, it's not a serious idea. Kind of maybe what, in Kincaid's case, like what he was as the first tight end picked in his draft. And there are lots of vocal Bills fans in fantasy that I think maybe spur that on, that sort of reaction on. I don't know. He's old for his experience, Kincaid. Like, he'll be 26, I think, October. And so for his, like, you know, 2 years into his career, wanting him to get stronger, like being talked about, point of attack stuff. Is that the wrong way to put it? Like, just getting off his coverage.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's more that, I think, than point of attack and blocking stuff.
Yeah,
I think,
right.
Like, Bean, I think, tried to clarify some of that when he was making the rounds last week. I think maybe even including here, once, you know, everything from the outset of that kind of had died down and passed, that, yeah, it's more just, you know, giving you more strength to, like, handle the people covering you and fight through that and be more durable, as opposed to, like, you know, we're trying to turn him into Lee Smith or something, which would...
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, that's obviously an exaggeration. But so, yeah, I mean, I'm really curious to see, I think, who isn't, what happened. Because those are the two guys that, to me, have the most to prove here. With like, being choosing to ratchet up the attention on the pass catchers on the team and believing in him as he does, then he's on the line and they're on the line. They better come through, or some, you know, somebody better. Josh Palmer better smash in a way that not many people at all are predicting, or something is going to have to happen here. Other than Khalil Shakir catching, you know, 80 some passes, you know, probably. Although, again, it didn't happen last year, and to Bean's point from last Monday, 30 points a game. I mean, they got there without that happening, but that does also include a season where they pivoted to bring in an established guy, and that guy still, to me, has not really been adequately replaced, unless you think that's Palmer.
What's a good year from Kincaid? Like, his rookie year, 2 years ago, yesterday, I think it was, we were talking about the Bills, or maybe the day before, and like, what did we talk about 2 years ago when Diggs was on the team and there wasn't this whole drama and, you know, arguing about wide receiver? What did we talk about? One thing we talked about 2 years ago, this is right after the draft now, was what a good year for Kincaid is. And I was having fun with that because he could have had what sounded like sort of a normal, okay kind of season, but it would have been up there as like an all-time great year for a rookie tight end. And that's kind of how it went.
Yep.
73 for 673 and two. Nothing spectacular. Not even close to like what Bowers just did or what Laporta did that year, but not terrible. Four catches a game, right? 40 yards, two touchdowns for the season. Nothing special except for his being a rookie tight end. Then last year he missed time, and I'll accept that he played through an injury also, but those numbers came down more. And like, is his rookie season for this year, with all the different, quote, mouths to feed, is his rookie season good now at this point? 70 for 670 again? Like, is that, we would take that from Kincaid? Because again, it's not great,
yeah,
but I think I probably would.
I almost would be willing to pull back, not that 73 is some incredible number of receptions, but if I got more dynamic plays, if I got more points, more scores, more touchdowns, use the word touchdowns. You're talking about football. It's not that hard.
What about a rouge?
Then I might take, you know, 60 catches, but give me 7 or 8 touchdowns. And I think like that in an everybody eats model, you know, assuming other guys are sort of pulling their weight to the extent that they did last year if they were here, and that Palmer sort of fits in and, you know, gets you 50 catches too or something, then maybe that can work. But I need more impact plays, right? Just so if you want to get him to 80 catches, that's great. But I better be getting to, you know, 5 touchdowns, 6, 7, 8. Like, I need that number to climb. And, you know, that was obviously missing still last year. He had 2 touchdowns again last season, just like he did in his rookie year. So it's more what kind of plays am I getting is what I'd be looking for out of Kincaid than just sheer production. So, like, I could settle for, you know, less than the market rate for top-tier tight ends. Just, you know, catch some third down passes, catch some touchdowns, get in the end zone. I think that would be very much welcomed at this point.
I remember one of his 2 touchdowns last year being in the Jacksonville Monday night game, which was a great Allen play, kind of a broken play, and Kincaid is running to his right toward the corner in the back of the end zone, and Allen finds him. It's a good catch. I mean, that was not a sitter. I don't remember the other one. But I could look it up, I guess. I don't know if I want to, though.
I don't care.
Who really cares?
I don't care if you do.
Is anybody
honestly
wanting to know that? Is anybody in their car right now? Like, please find out.
I don't remember it either, and I'm definitely not going to go look for it.
He doesn't really seem to be getting a ton of respect. In fantasy, he is tight end 15. This is the first drafted 2 years ago. This is when you're supposed to hit. This is when McBride hit. Right? Like, end of his second year, they had Ertz on the team, kind of like their Knox, different styles of players, but he was kind of blocked, and late second season, he took off, and now he's the highest paid tight end in history. He's tight end too, but the respect is not there for Kincaid. He goes behind Jake Ferguson.
No. Well, it doesn't belong there. You know, like, I don't know how high, you know, independent of fantasy draft status, mean, I don't know. If I'm talking about the tight ends in the league, I mean, and that is certainly a way to do it. I don't think he belongs much more than in the like around at the midpoint. He just hasn't done it. You got to give me something to bank on. And, you know, the 73 catches in that first year, that's not nothing. I mean, that's still, it's an incredible number of receptions for a rookie tight end. But the position is evolving, and more is being expected, and teams are getting more from guys like that. And with his athletic profile and the opportunity that exists on this team, if it doesn't, you don't get some improvement really all across the board. Touchdowns, again, receptions, scale back, but just give me bigger plays, yards per, reception, something that indicates like, okay, they found a way to make this really have some value. It's got to happen this year. I mean, it's year three.
Do you have any interest in Davis?
Barely. I don't know who I would want to put him on the field in front of now on this team. Because, the reason I never wanted the Bills to commit to him in the first place is I just didn't think there was enough there to warrant him being, a second contract number two wide receiver on a team of this caliber. So I was happy when they turned their back on that. And I would expect it to be very inexpensive to do now. But I don't know that I'm really helping myself by doing it.
Yeah, I think I'm probably done. I'm with you. Just like, explain it to me first. But because I do think people got too far down on him. I don't know what happened in Jacksonville. Liam Cohen took that job and was immediately like done with Davis. He had a press conference. He was the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator last year. He had a press conference and went long on his wide receivers, never even mentioned Davis. Like, he wasn't even on the team. Now he isn't. If you didn't know, that's why we bring it up, because he was released. He came at a pretty bad cap penalty too for right. Jacksonville. Like they decided to have to eat that and let him go. So
yeah, like $11 million guaranteed for this year. And my understanding is that there's offset language there. So if you were interested in signing him, I would imagine he's not looking for some huge payday, because whatever, he's going to get $11 million basically no matter what. Right. If he signs with the Bears for $2 million a year, then he gets $9 million from Jacksonville. If he doesn't sign anywhere, he gets 11. So he doesn't have to make a killing with this contract, unless somebody wants to do it, but I don't know why they would.
Right. Sal coming up at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.